work late, but you didn't wake up. My bones ache, cleaning the place up. Sometimes I wonder if you know I'm there. Sit down, take off my makeup, lay down, but you don't wake up. Sometimes I wonder if you even care. I can't remember the last time you told me I'm beautiful. And I can't remember the last time that you said anything at all. I'm a woman, woman with a heart. I deserve your role. I'm not some girl, don't know what she wants. I'm a woman, I need to be touched. I need to be loved. Being just your woman is not enough. But you don't wake up when it's too late to make up. You'll be the one that's alone, and that's so sad. In time, you'll find somebody. The truth is, she'll never be me. That's when you're gonna miss what we have. Yeah, yeah. Oh, I really. Beautiful. Holy really need to hear what's anything at all. I'm a woman, woman with a heart. Yeah. I deserve your love. I'm not some girl who don't know what she wants. I'm a woman, I need to be touched. I need to be loved, 'cause being just your woman is not enough. No, 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 no. Just ain't enough. No, 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 no. I'm not your friend who only needs you sometimes. If I'm your lady, you gotta treat me like. I'm a woman.
A very good morning to you, Egefe. Pardon me. A very good morning to you, Eagle FM listeners. It's now exactly 8 minutes past the hour of 9 o'clock, and it's the 30th of May 2026. A beautiful, wonderful sunny day in the capital city. I hope you're doing all well, Eagle FM listeners. My name is Francine Ngidengwa, and you are now tuned into Social Times, and I'll be taking you until the hour of 11 o'clock. Now, before I bring to the table or what bring onto the air what I have for you today, we have our interesting stories that are always appearing or that are always up on our social media pages. That's Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and LinkedIn, both on the Villager newspaper and the Eagle FM Facebook page. And we also have interesting topics on radio every day. And if you'd always love to listen to us, you know, within the country or out of the country, you are more than welcome to listen to us via the Eagle FM app. You just go to Play Store and you download the app, or also you can also tune on to our website. That's www.eaglefm.com.ne, www.eaglefm.com.ne, and you are good to go and catch up yourself with the shows that you have missed or you'd want to listen to live. Like I said, my name is Francine Ngidengwa, and I'll be taking you until the hour of 11 o'clock. What I have for you today is the suicide among the youth. You know, lately, the news that we've all been reading on social media, you know, it's the committing also, it's the suicides and all that. You know, Namibia currently faces a critical suicide crisis with national authorities recording hundreds of suicide deaths and thousands of attempts annually. And the crisis is predominantly driven by economic challenges, high unemployment, substance abuse, and relationship pressures. So there's so many things going on around us, and I've realized that people are going through the most. Individuals are going through through a lot. And I also have realized that sometimes, as much as one would want to speak up what they are going through, they what we see on social media, the fact that they feel like once they speak up, it's gonna go all out on, you know, on social media, or this certain person that you try to open up to, they end up going to tell the next person that no. Just after you have spoken to this person, then you hear the person is, making phone calls that, no, I was just speaking to who, and he's going through the most, or she's going through the most. And then through that conversation you're having with someone else about that person that's trying to, having suicidal thoughts and or what's on, not, you end up also, judging through that, summary you are giving of whatever the person has shared with you. And this is now why some certain individuals have, not why, but what they have caused, some certain individuals have caused this to make one individual not trust the other or make them want to open up. As much as I know that, no, I'm willing to help. Let me say, for example, let me give you a scenario of I'm willing to help someone. Someone comes to, is thinking of coming to Francina to, get advice or, you know, speak to that person or open up because of what they are going through. The person really wants to. They feel like the trust is there, but not 100% there, because they'll be like, okay, if I tell her, what if she's going to tell the next person? Or what if she's going to, call the certain person that I'm talking about that's the cause of what's happening, what I'm going through? You know, the fear is somehow there. You know, as much as one wanna talk up or speak out, they think of what's going to be said after they speak up. And also they feel like they might be judged. As much as you want to speak up, you think of the judgmental, you know. So the statistics shows that the current rate, historically, the official crude suicide rate stands at approximately 9.7 per thousand people, but officials acknowledge the current reality is significantly higher, and that's now in Namibia. And historical data also shows that 2023-2024, the Ministry of Health and Social Services recorded 542 suicide deaths and 2,937 attempted suicides. And the annual trends, the provisional data from the Ministry of Health reported over 475 suicides during the 2024-2025 financial year, reflecting a persistently high trajectory. So, you know, the demographic breakdown, you know, gender, men are disproportionately affected, accounting for over 80% of all suicide cases, and which is true. Looking at the most of the cases that we hear of suicides or attempted suicide is more of the male gender. You know, and one day I was thinking about this, that why do we find that it's mostly the male gender that's doing all this? And you know, there's so many men out there that are breaking down in silence, that are going through the most in silence, because they feel like once they speak up, they might be judged. And you know how judgmental people are, even on social media, as much as you try to to find a solution. You go on social media to find a solution. The judgmental is just there. The judgment is too much. You think of, if you speak up, they'll be like, you're not man enough, or you are weak, or as a man, you know, so many thoughts. So this makes one want to give up on speaking up, speaking out what they are going through, what they are facing financially, relationship pressures, the employment, the economic challenges. Before I continue with bills to pay, we'll be right back to stay tuned on the frequency.
You. When you leave school this year,
you will be part of
the biggest generation
of school leavers
ever in Namibia.
So, what are you going to do?
What legacy are you going to create?
What difference will you be part of?
Open your mind.
Open your mind to greatness. Open your mind to the best version of you.
Open your mind at UNAM. UNAM, your university Namibia. Because the U in UNAM is you.
All right. 50 minutes past the hour of 9. If you've just tuned in, you are listening to Social Times with Francine Nangidengwa, and I'll be with you until the hour of 11 o'clock. And today's topic discussion, suicide among the youth. Now, moving on, while adults face the highest risk, strategies among children and teenagers have also been recorded. So regional disparities that the central northern regions typically see the highest concentrations of cases, particularly the Msati, Comas, and the Ohangwena regions. Now, obviously, we have reasons to why you'd find someone having thoughts of committing suicide or now, you know, I'm gonna, you know, break down as to what are the contributing factors to this. You know, financial distress, unemployment, and drought-related hardships have deeply aggravated the mental health challenges across the country. And also, the high stigma regarding mental health often causes individuals, particularly men, to suppress emotional distress until a crisis point. You know, this certain gentleman is going through the most, and they have tried here and there to find solution, but by not also only like speaking up. Let me say, for example, they are going through financial crisis, and you know, you know that you are a man of a family and you need that financial help, and maybe you ended up also going for loans, and now you have to pay up the loans, and it's just too much piled up for you, and you don't know what else to do. You know, until you are at that just point of there's no one to bail you out. And you have the fear of if you speak up, you'll be judged as to, no, but why did you end up going to get a cash loan of such amount? And what, but the person also sometimes has reasons to why. And not everyone that goes to cash loans is because they want it to use for, they want to that money to use it for unnecessary things. But sometimes it's something that they want to do, maybe for the family, and they feel like they aren't doing enough, so they end up going to get a cash loan. And you know, sometimes the family puts us on pressure, because now the family members are saying this and that about you, and then you look at yourself and you're like, ah, let me just get this loan so I can be, you know, at least relieved on one side. And you know, there's just so many things happening around in this world, in this country, and what so forth. Now also the cause of suicide mostly in our youth is that the risk factors for suicide in teens could include mental health problems like depression and anxiety and substance abuse. And you know, past suicide attempts, a family history of suicide, or even having a way to get a gun are also big risks, you know. And also struggling with sexual identity can also be a risk, and so forth. Also bullying. So there's just so many things that happen around one to end up making such decisions. And you know, we have the stages, né, that of suicide. You know, suicide behavior and psychological pathways are often characterized in, you know, the three distinct stages. We have suicidal ideation, because most of the time before you even, you know, decide to commit suicide, you always have the ideas first. You get to that stage where you have ideas of how you're gonna do this. And then there's also the suicidal intent or planning. and then also the suicide attempt. So these stages represent the progression from thoughts and distress to active preparation and ultimately self-injurious action. So the understanding of these stages can help individuals recognize the warning signs. So I'm going to break down those types of the stages of suicide thoughts so that not the suicide thoughts but the suicide stages, so that at least once you get to understand this, it can help an individual recognize not only the individual or someone that's close to you, that someone that's close to you, that will be able to tell that, okay, I think this person is going through this. So the individual can be able to recognize the warning signs in themselves or others, and also highlight the importance of early intervention. Because once you, at least you intervene into this matter while it's early, it can save you, or you can also save one of your loved ones. So we have the suicidal ideation, as I said at the beginning. Now this initial stage is characterized by thoughts, wishes, or preoccupations with death, and it ranges widely in intensity and in intent. So you would find that one is seated, né? Because obviously for you to think about this is when now you are at the point of crisis. You are at the point of, you don't know what else to do. And you feel like by taking your life, it's the only solution, because it's either you feel now you, at least it's taking away the problem, and you're not going to suffer anymore, and you just think it's the best idea to do. So if you find yourself that you are going through something, and you have always been going through something, but you don't really think of the suicide attempt and what's or not. And then all of a sudden, one day, you are seated and you are trying to think of a solution to whatever you are, what crisis you are finding yourself in. And then you start thinking of, taking your own life. Yeah? Then that means you have to find a solution, but not taking your life, obviously, but find a way to get out of this, to avoid and, you know, get rid of this idea, because now it's you thinking of all the ideas, and you find someone when going to Google what ways to commit suicide, you know, taking medication, overdosing yourself, right, hanging yourself, using a gun to end your life, and all sorts of things. And you know, sometimes you'd find that they are even ones that you find that they are Googling or searching suicide something that can help you die fast, you know. By the time someone comes in, you have it's too late, you know. But it's something that you'd find one thinking about. And also we have now, when I say about the suicidal ideation, it's broken down into like two. There's a passive ideation and active ideation. So now the passive ideation is that wishing to be dead or to go to sleep and not wake up without an active plan or intent to act. That's one you'd find, you know. Even you always hear some people saying that, you know, you'd be like, I just wish I could go to bed and never wake up. I just wish I could be dead, you know, because they don't want to face what's happening. And one thing I've realized, né, is that we don't really think of all the challenges and the problems we have faced the previous months, years, days. And we have overcome them. And one thing again is that sometimes this problem you are facing right now that's leading you or forcing you or tempting you to commit suicide is maybe it's just a small problem. You had a bigger problem back then, but you came out of that problem. You know, it's just a season that's just there for a matter of time, but because you want a solution that moment, that instant, you decide to commit suicide. You decide to end your life. But just when you end your life, then a solution was there for you. But because you have made up your mind as to, no, I'm just gonna end it here. It's over. I have no way out. So the only way out is by no more being alive. So also the active ideation, you know, experiencing recurrent thoughts of suicide and considering taking action, but without a concrete plan. So, you know, you start having so much thoughts about this, and then you think of how you're going to take this action, how you're going to put it into action, and it's so much painful. And another thing also, another stage of suicide that you'd find yourself, if you see yourself finding, is that also the suicidal intent and planning. You know, in this stage, the individual moves from thinking about dying to a conscious resolution. And this phase may include now, developing a specific plan or identifying the means for self-harm, engaging in preparatory behaviors, such as finalizing personal affairs or giving away cherished possessions, communicating intent, which can be vital opportunity for intervention and support. And the last suicide thought also is a suicide attempt, where this stage involves now the execution of self-injurious behavior where there is evidence of an intent to die. It is a critical medical and psychological emergency that requires immediate professional intervention. So this is now where you'd find that someone was trying to cut open their vein and then, you know, bleed to death, or trying to overdose with medication, but unfortunately maybe they didn't. Someone caught you into action or found you have taken them, but you are still in the process, you know. So there's just so many things that you'd find one in such a situation. It's exactly 26 minutes past the hour of 9, and you are listening to Social Times with Francis Nangi Dengwa, and I'll be with you until the hour of 11 o'clock. We are going to listen to the sounds of Leona Lewis, Better in Time. I'll be right back. Do stay tuned. Do not leave that frequency.
I know that you're here. yele, 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 yele. 'Cause nobody's perfect. Oh yeah. Nobody's perfect. You know me, nigga.
You did it fine. For a perfect one, the life you live is the perfect life. You know, when a prince where they go. Can't believe my eyes could see the day I found my missing ring. She invested her best in me. Yes, I know. Now so we they go. If you didn't find it.
All right, and that was the sounds of, pardon me, and that was the sounds of Celine Dion, Goodbyes. It's exactly 42 minutes past the hour of 9 o'clock. If you've just tuned in, you are listening to Social Times with Francina, and I'll be with you until the hour of 11 o'clock. Suicide among the youth is the topic of today. And moving on to our next discussion is that the most common reasons you'd find and underlining the risk factors that include the you'd find that people die by suicide as a result of complex intersections between mental health conditions and psychosocial stresses and also biological vulnerabilities, but rather than a single cause, it is typically driven by an overwhelming desire to escape unbearable emotional or physical pain when individuals feel their problems are insurmountable. Pardon me. So now, you'd find that untreated or severe depression, you know, a major depressive disorder causes profound hopelessness and despair, often clouding judgment, so that suicide feels like the only viable solution. You know, when one is facing a storm in their life, and as much as they are trying to find the solution, the suicide thought is the only one that's, you know, more of like a better solution, because they are tired and they can't take it any longer, and they just feel like once they are no more, at least they won't feel that pain, that same pain, and so forth. But you're also bringing the pain on towards your family, because now they are losing their loved one. And you could also, you know, some suicides also affect some family members. You'd find someone that was so much dearly to them, and you decide to commit suicide, because maybe you feel you are unloved, and so you decide to commit a suicide, or to attempt to make an attempt. So now you'd find that this certain person that decides to commit suicide, you might end up leaving one to have also second thoughts, or because now you have decided to do, take actions by taking your own life, it can affect someone whereby they have so much thoughts, and it can change them. It can, you'd find someone that even becomes how do I put this? Let me say you find someone that never even used to drink. Let me give an example of someone that I know of that lost their mother, and they have taken as he just took his mother as she's the only family to him. You know, because the mother was there for him, in every situation he found himself in, the mother will always be there for him. And you know, he took as his mother was his solution, therapy, and everything. So whatever he faced, he would always go to his mother, and he was the only child. And now him losing his mom, he tried so much to commit suicide, but he didn't succeed. So he has been trying to attempt to do so, and always because of losing his loved one, he has concluded that the person that he loves so much and the person that always has been there for him is no more. So who's gonna be there for him? So it was so hard for him to accept it. He ended up taking alcohol. He started drinking, and you know, he has made so much decisions that he didn't realize that he's harming himself. He just thought it's a solution. He just thought that throwing away his life is better, you know, until he got better. And then he realized that he was actually hurting himself, you know. And he thought that, no, what he's doing, it's making things more worse for his mother. So he decided to change his character and become a better person. Because he felt like he's making his mom happy, even though she's no more, you know. So you'd find that some suicides can affect also your loved one, you know. And also there's also substance abuse, you know. Alcohol and drug use lower inhibitions and increase impulsivity and can exacerbate feelings of depression and anxiety, making individuals more likely to act on suicidal thoughts. And also the trauma and abuse, you know, this is also one of the factors, you know, unresolved trauma from childhood abuse, domestic violence, or severe life events significantly increases the long-term suicide risk. So now, this person thinking of what has been happening back then when they were young and is still continuing, they feel like it's best to be no more. They don't want to feel that pain anymore, right? So the only way to get rid of this pain is by ending their life. They'll no more go through the pain. They'll no more be haunted by their childhood abuse. They'll no more be domestically violated. They will no more be having so much issues that they are facing on their own, as much as they need help, but they have the fear of coming forward with whatever they are facing. And then also the social isolation and loneliness, you know, a lack of supportive network, the loss of a loved one, or severe detachment from family and community can amplify feelings of worthlessness. You know, you'd find that someone is going through the most and they feel like, you know, you are going through something or you need help with something. And as much as you tried, you feel like no one cares about you. No one sees you. It's like as if you don't exist. Because now you think of your close relatives and you think of the help that you've been trying to ask for, but it's either there are some that are coming through and there are some that are unable to do so, and or sometimes there's just no one that's there to help you. And you know, sometimes we also think of you know, you need help, but then maybe the help that you need is financial help. Probably you need money to pay up something. Maybe you have a tuition fee that's behind you, an installment that you need to make. You know, there's just so many things that you want to do with that financial help that you need. But you didn't even try asking. Maybe you just asked two individuals that you are more close to and they weren't able to help you or to meet you halfway. And you sit and think and you'll be like, what's the point? No one wants to help me. But did you try approaching them? Maybe you just approach two. And then you think of the rest, you'll be like, ah, I don't think she'll be able to help me or he'll be able to help me. But you didn't try. Because you have a fear of when you ask, the answer will be a no. What if where you doubting to ask, that's where your solution was coming from? What if, even though they're not maybe going to help you financially, maybe they'll give you an idea or a solution to whatever problem you are going through, but because you just started to go to two individuals that you trust and that's it, you that you know of or you are close to or open to, and then you didn't think of also now including someone else again that you know of, even though you don't have that close relationship, because you doubt that, I doubt that he or she will help me. Because maybe you are using your judgmental, should I say skills? Or what should I say? Pardon me. But you try to judge this person by just looking at them. You'll be like, ah, Francine, I don't think she'll be able to help me. She seems like someone that's stingy or someone that's rude. She might just say she doesn't have anyone if she has. But did you try putting effort and approach this person and ask them? or you are just judging with what you see with your eyes, or you just heard that she's a stingy person. But whoever told you, the people that have been speaking about this person is stingy, did you try and find out how did they approach this person? What assistance did they need from this person? Maybe your problem that you're going to bring to us, this person, maybe they'll be able to help you or give you a solution. But because you have a fear or you doubt that you will get help from this certain person, you decided, no, let me just go end it. Maybe you feel better and you also make it easier for them. You know, and obviously, yes, the thoughts that come to mind that, no, you, because now you feel like there's a lack of support, you have lost your loved one and there's severe detachment from your family and community, you decide that, no, I will just do this. That's when at least when I do this, I will give them peace. They'll be at peace that I'm no more. I don't exist. So also now another thing, also the chronic pain and terminal illness, you know, severe, unremitting physical pain or a terminal diagnosis can lead to a severely diminished quality of life and a desire to control one's suffering. You know, you find yourself that, no, you have cancer or you have a certain disease, and you think of, maybe you are told you have just, your lifespan is how long and all that. You decided, what's the point? I'm not going to wait. I'm not going to be in pain. Let me just end this. And also the instead of speaking up as what's going on, it's just you dying in silence and suffering all alone because you decided to fail not to you failed to expose or to speak up. And it doesn't mean you have to really mention what disease you are going through, but just say you are sick and you need help. You don't really have to specify what kind of sickness, you know. It depends who you trust and who you are talking to. And also the severe financial distress, this is one of the things that you'd find one that stresses about and think of the solution is just by ending your life. You know, recent financial crisis, extreme poverty or the loss of a job can trigger severe stress, a loss of social status and feelings of failure. Now, because you are going through financial crisis and you think of, what are my family members going to say about me? What is my family going to say about me? If you are married, you think of your family, you think of your wife, or you think of your husband, you think of everything, like everything is going to change because I'm unemployed, I lost my job, or I don't have the finance, or I'm not just sit at home. They will start distancing themselves from me. They will start turning their back against me. They will start hating me. They won't notice me anymore. And all that because of this financial distress that you are going through. And now you are stuck there. And you think of, there's no way out of this. But I mean, you also once upon a time faced a stage where you were financially unstable, you know, and now you are stuck, you are out there, you don't know what to do, you don't know what solutions to your problem, and you are in debt, you owe people money, you don't know where you're going to get all that amount of money, which is true. You are so much distressed and all that, but committing suicide is not the solution. And I think, one thing one would, need is financial, is a financial advisor, you know, because, sometimes we find ourselves in financial crisis, not knowing or noticing that we are getting ourselves in financial crisis because we are going through so much and you need finance, you need money for so many things that you want to do. So you end up doing the things, thinking that you're able to pay up all that, but just to realize that, nope, you are unable to do so, and now you are stuck. You are there and you don't know what's the next step. So you decide as to commit suicide is the only best, because you know that you won't have be facing such a problem anymore, because you are no more. Another thing also, relationship breakdowns, you know, divorce, the end of a close relationship, or intense interpersonal conflicts can cause deep emotional turmoil or a sense of profound loss. Now you'd find that now you're in a you are facing a divorce, and your partner or your spouse decides that no, your partner decides that no, we are ending this relationship, or your spouse decides that no, it's best we go our own ways. Ne? Now, you think of your family members. Let me use an example of the married couple you are divorcing now. You think of how things are going to go. Ne? You think of your family. At first, you think about your family. You think about your kids. They're going to grow up with parents no more together. And then the family members, where they step in and then they start with their judgments and all that. And now you think of you are going to be the laughing stock. And then you also try to remember of something. Maybe one of your relatives have told you that, why are you rushing into marriage? Or why, you know, there's just judgment. There was just judgment before you became a wife to someone or became a husband to someone. So they were judging you and questioning you. Now you think of that. And then you'll be like, so when I'm going to go back home, they will start laughing at me. They will start judging me. They will start saying all sorts of things about me. And now you don't want, you have the fear and you don't want to feel the pain or have the fear of facing them. You decide that it's best I end my life. What's the point? But you have your loved ones that are out there. You have your family members that love you. And you know, there's always karma. Ne? So one, someone that tries to judge you about something that has happened to you, maybe for example you are divorced and they're trying to judge you that, no, I told you already, you not, just don't get yourself involved with that person, now look where you are and what's or not. You know, I wouldn't advise one to judge, because you don't know tomorrow. Tomorrow it could be you. You'd find yourself also in a same situation, or even worse, even far more worse than what this relative of yours has been facing in that marriage, or has faced through the divorce process. Because sometimes now, it depends now if you're married into community of property or the other way around, and all sorts of things. And also now another thing, also the feeling like a burden. You know, an individual may develop the belief that their loved ones or society will be significantly better off without them, often seen in a case in cases of chronic illness and or disability. And this feeling of a burden sometimes can also be contributed by family members or loved ones, because now as much as you know that, no, you feel like you are burdened, but as family members they feel like it's we are all good, we are fine with you, we don't it's not as if we don't care about you and what so forth. Because you know, you'd find sometimes you're not noticed in the family. You just feel like you're not noticed. I remember watching something of a couple and their three daughters. So those kids are triplets, né? And and you know, they are not all the same. There's always one with a different character and then the other one. So one of them had a she was just different from the other two sisters, and she decides to it was a birthday of the friends, I mean of the siblings, and they of all of them, right? Because they are triplets. And the family has come together to enjoy the birth of the triplets, but then she felt like unnoticed, you know, because everything is being done, like if it's a chore that needs to be done, it's always her being told, do this, do that, do this, do that. Meanwhile, the other two sisters were just, you know, living their life, You know, and this certain one knew what she wanted for in her life. She knew what she wanted, what's best for her. And then like, those sisters were, they felt they were like too much spoiled. And this, their grandmother noticed that she feels like she's not noticed, or, and she feels like she's burdened and all that. So she decides to interfere in this child's life. And, the parents were they're always just supporting the two sisters, and for her, she always felt left out. As much as she wants them to draw their attention to her, they would always just, you know, they felt like she's just a distraction. So they always just focus on the other two sisters. As much as she wants to, even when she comes home, she's so much excited her performance and all that. She wants to share how her day was at school. Her parents never noticed her. She felt unnoticed until she ended up leaving the house. After she had left the house, after years, she left with her grandmother, and then one day the parents come at the doorstep of the grandmother because they want her to forgive them and take her back, because now they are going through financial issues, because the other two daughters said not to be serious with their futures. They were so much spoiled, and the parents were not noticing that. And this individual sister of theirs that was always being left out in every decision, everything that they are making at their home, became someone in life. And now they came to beg for her forgiveness and their assistance. I mean, her assistance in helping them, because now they are financially drained and all that, you know. So this just shows to someone that, when I watched this, it actually just taught me that it's always good to try to make sure that you notice all, as much as you feel like you notice everyone, you know, it's always good just to check up on them individually. Because even sometimes you do it as a group, there's just somebody that just need that specific attention. It's exactly 4 minutes past the hour of 10. You are still listening to Social Times with Francina. And I'll be with you until the hour of 11 o'clock. You can call us in studio on 083-288-401. That's 083-288-401. Share with us your views and opinion on today's topic discussion. Have you ever come across where you found yourself, you are in one room with someone that's having thoughts of committing suicide, or even you yourself? And how did you overcome this? You know, it's always worth sharing of how did you overcome this thought, you know. How did you overcome these things of you thinking of ending your life? Because it's not an easy thing. It's not an easy thing. You know, it's so painful that I also lived with someone that always had that thought. And, you know, it was so difficult because you have to make sure that you try it by all means, even if you leave the house, at least you try to communicate to this person just to make sure that there's no silence. And, you know, sometimes when you see there's no response, you are wondering as to, is this person fine? You know, and you would always, by all means, also try to be, you know, checking around. If you're with this person in the house, you always be trying to check up on this person after every second, because you have the fear to lose a loved one. And it wasn't easy. It wasn't an easy journey, but this person has gotten help. They got therapy and all that, but it's not an easy thing. It's not an easy thing. And you know, our minds, they make us, you know, think so much and all that. And also another thing, other mental health disorders, you know, conditions like bipolar disorder, borderline personality disorder, and severe anxiety disorders can cause extreme mood swings or distress. Now, another thing also, bullying, discrimination, or humiliation. Persistent harassment, cyberbullying, or social stigma based on sexual orientation, race, or social standing can lead to feelings of shame and entrapment. So you'd find that, you know, bullying happens everywhere, not only at school. You'd find also one being bullied at the workplace. And, you know, and then also the discrimination. Now, you think of you every time, you're like, no, I feel like I'm not worth it. I'm not someone worth to be alive. So my solution is just to end this. Then I'll make them feel better and they can also stop their bullying. And, you know, it would be very painful, seeing someone taking their own life and you are the cause of it, I don't think you be fine the rest of your life, because it will feel like as if you killed this person. This person's life is in your hands. We are going for a short musical break. We'll be right back. Do stay tuned. Do not leave that frequency.
Thank you. I'm in love with you. They try to
27 minutes past the hour of 10. You are still listening to Social Times with Francina, and I'll be with you until the hour of 11 o'clock, with exactly 33 minutes until we hand over the mic to the Uandangwa studio. And obviously, the big mic will be taking over with Mind Matters. Now, moving on, the topic is on about suicide among the youth, and I was busy talking about the common reasons, and also underlining the risk factors, which now include the untreated or severe depression, the substance abuse, the trauma and abuse, the social isolation and loneliness, chronic pain and terminal illness, severe financial distress, relationship breakdowns, feeling like a burden, other mental health disorders, bullying, discrimination or humiliation, and I ended off with bullying, discrimination or humiliation, whereby persistent harassment, cyberbullying or race or social standing can lead to feelings of shame and entrapment. Now, I'll say that you can call us in studio on 0832-888-401. That's 0832-888-401. Share with us your views and opinion on this situation that we are finding ourselves in every day. We have to report, not every day, but every week, you know, you have to receive a report of someone that has committed suicide. And like I said at the beginning, the gender that's mostly committing the suicide is the men. You know, there's so many things going around, happening around us. Men are facing so much problems and situations where they find themselves, or where they think that it's best to keep it to themselves because they know that if they speak up, they'll be judged and they don't want their judgment. So because they are going through the pain and they don't know where to find the solution, they decide to end their lives because if they know that if they speak up, they'll be judged, be a laughing stock, be seen as a weak person, and so many thoughts that runs in their minds. So we have the types of suicide. You know, we have egoistic suicide, altruistic suicide, and anomic suicide. So now the egoistic suicide occurs when an individual feels extreme social isolation and detachment from their community, family, or peers, leaving them feeling like they have no place or purpose in society. And now, you know, every individual that we have been reading about that has committed suicide, they have their reasons, right? Because we hardly, the news, we don't see, every time we read the news, we hardly hear that they have left a note behind. It's just no note left behind and so forth. So they all have their reasons as to why they have decided to end their life, right? So the types of now the egoistic suicide, the number one now on this is that, like I said, it occurs when an individual feels extreme social isolation and detachment from the community, family, or peers, and it leaves them feel like they have no place or purpose in society. They feel like they are unwanted. They feel like there's no point of being alive because it's like as if they don't exist. It's like as if they are dead to them. So they feel like, let me just make it come to real or come to pass. Let me end my life because I feel like I'm dead to them. You feel unnoticed. You feel like you are not recognized. So it's best to just end your life. So you make it feel real because of the way the treatment that you get from the ones around you, from the community, and anyone else around, close to you. And then you also have now the altruistic suicide. Now this happens when an individual is too integrated into a social group, you know, leading them to willingly sacrifice their life for what they perceive as the group's collective benefit, honor, or cause. So, for example, like self-sacrifice for a greater good. You know, you'll feel that one is maybe in this, finding themselves as socializing with certain people, and maybe there is something that's going on amongst them, and they decide that, let me do this, because you feel like once you end your life, you are doing for them a favor, and you are making it more easier for them, and you know, you want to make them happy, you want to make them feel good, so you end up making this decision, which is something that's wrong, because you're actually bringing pain than happiness. Although to yourself you feel like you are doing the right thing, you feel relieved that when you do this, you make them feel relieved, you make them feel at peace and happy, and you are the your death is their solution to whatever they are going through, you know. And you know, when you always conclude, it's always good not to conclude immediately. You know, you've just gone through something or see something happen, and then you decide to conclude to what has been happening or has happened for the past days or weeks. So you have jumped to your conclusion and you have realized that it is what it is, you know. And then also we have anomic suicide. You know, the suicide stems from a sudden severe disruption in societal norms, you know, economic conditions, or personal life, leading to a state of moral confusion, ethical disarray, and a lack of social direction. Now you'd find that you are going through some personal issues, and you don't know, you are thinking of who to help you with whatever that's going on in your life, or what you are facing in your life, and now you don't know what's the solution, you don't know who you could run to or talk to because it's something personal, and you don't know who to open up. You know, I've seen someone speak saying that, you know, sometimes it's always worth going to a stranger. You know, when you talk to a stranger, you go to a stranger and then you tell them what you are going through. You know, something personal. It's best than going to someone that knows you, because apparently you once you go to a stranger, you don't care because this person doesn't know you personally, right? It's and they hardly know about. They just know that it's you, and you can always give a false name, right? You give a false name and then you explain your problem. Here you don't care because you know that they don't know me personally. But then apparently you think of you going to someone that knows you, and then you speak up. You have the fear of just when I turn my back, this person calls the next person to describe my problem, and you find someone who has told the problem or their personal. I shared my personal problem with you. Then you hear, just when I hang up, if you were having a conversation via the phone call, or just when I leave, you call, you pick up your phone, and then you start calling your. And then you'll be like, yo, guys, things people are going through a lot. Who was just here right now explaining to me this, and then you even start you after you have explained or given what spoken what the person has shared with you, and then you even start judging. I don't even know why she did this. Let me use a scenario of the person comes to you and tell you that she's being abused in their relationship or in their marriage. And this is what's happening. This is how you are treated. This is happening. That's when you leave and you're like, oh, guys, huh? Josephine is going through the Lord. She was here and she told me, she's being abused and she always finds the gate closed. She's always being used as a housemaid and such things. Same thing as men. They explain what's happening. No, it's going through a lot. And then you start judging. No, as a woman, why are you settling for what? Why are you settling for this and that? You know, just the judgment after you have spoken, shared with this person whatever you have been sharing that you are going through, and then you decide to now do your judgments and all that and so forth. It's exactly 37 minutes past the hour of 10. You are still listening to Social Times with Francina. You can call us in studio on 083-288-401. That's 083-288-401. Share with us your views and opinion on today's discussion.
If our love was a fairy tale, I would charge it and rescue you. On a yacht, baby, we would sail to an island where we'd say I do. And if we had babies, they would look like you. If it's so beautiful, if they came true, you don't even know how very special you are.
kwa fasha Ela wina ndi nyama Ole na ndi anjasha Tindari Oye matindaya Kwali ndi shodi nevimbo
UNAM,
you get credible accreditations.
You get internationally recognized qualifications.
You get a university with a growing reputation.
When you choose UNAM,
you get a head start on local jobs.
You become connected in a growing Namibia.
You stay in the best country in the world.
Because you already know, you love it here.
Open your mind to UNAM.
And UNAM will open the world to you.
UNAM is your university, Namibia.
Because the U in UNAM is you.
Keep on walking, even things will work out.
right, 4 minutes until we hand over the mic to the Beam mic. And now we are closing off and rounding up what I have been discussing. But before we went for the musical break, I was busy touching on the types of suicide that we have. And the last one is the fatalistic suicide. This results from oppressive, excessively strict societal regulation where an individual feels completely trapped, believing their future and choices are entirely blocked by overwhelming rules or authority. Now, mentioning all the four types of suicide, and that was the egoistic suicide, altruistic suicide, anomic suicide, and the fatalistic suicide. Pardon me. And this suicide now, you know, as I said before, we went for the musical break, that you would find that every individual that has committed suicide, pardon me, always have their reasons, you know, to why they have done it. So sometimes they feel lonely, they feel unwanted, they feel like a burden, they feel like they are useless, you know, all sorts of things that I think of. So in my last words, ending your life is not the solution. You know, sometimes also think of how far you have come to be where you are right now. Think of the storms that you're facing the previous days, months, or years, and they were far more worse than whatever storm you are facing right now, and it will eventually be over. You know, the one thing again, when you think of committing suicide, you hardly even think of the solutions. Sometimes one is thinking of the solutions to what they are facing right now, and they didn't find a solution. But committing suicide is not the solution. To yourself, you feel like it's the best decision ever, because you won't be troubled anymore. You'll be no more. You won't go through the pain and the stress, whatever you are going through right now. But, you know, if you find that you are going through a difficult time, you are facing a problem, and you and you don't know what to do, because we always make decisions rushing decisions, right? You know, you just jump to conclusion, but you didn't think straight, because now you are going through so much, you are facing a problem, it's and you don't have a solution. Instead of just sitting down and be focused and be calm and just think of something, the moment you panic because of the crisis that you are in, you panic, and then you say that, no, let me just end my life. That's the only way I can get rid of this problem. But no, there's always a solution. Instead of, it's best that when you find that you are in the midst of a storm or you are facing a crisis, sit down and think straight. And it won't be an easy thing, because your mind is just on that problem. But think, what can I do? Who can I approach? And eventually there's just someone out there to help you, you know. If you know that you don't trust someone that's close to you, go to a stranger. You even be more comfortable to open up, because you don't really know this person. Unlike you telling a relative of yours, and you won't tell them the whole story, you won't break it down, you won't break down everything to them, because you have a fear that this part I might be judged. So you just speak out the little. But if you speak up whatever you are facing, whatever you are going through, at least you'll be able to tell that, no, this is where I can help, or this person also be able to help you and to understand you as to, okay, this is what we can do, the solution that you can get, rather than you judging from a distance. You think of, okay, I need a certain help, and you think of your loved ones, and you'll be like, I don't think I'll get a solution there. But did you give a try? And also this thing of you heard from someone saying that they once approached this person for help and they didn't get any help or it didn't turn out the way they wanted to. Sometimes this person telling you didn't get the solution that they wanted or what they're expecting from this person, they didn't, whatever they were looking for, they didn't get it or it didn't turn out to be the way they wanted it to be, or that's not the solution they're looking for. So they just conclude. But it's also best for yourself to speak for yourself that, okay, let me be sure. Why is Francina saying that he tried to get help from Martin, but she got the wrong response or so forth. So they decide that, no, let me go and see it for myself as to why she's saying this. Rather than you, because you heard from your three cousins that uncle doesn't help at all, you decided, no, it's fine, I'm not going to approach him. Try your luck. Maybe that person didn't have a solution for this cousin of yours, but maybe your solution is there. So it's exactly 2 minutes past the hour of 11 o'clock, and now we are handing over the mic to the big mic to the Ondangwa studio. We shall meet again next Saturday. That's on Eagle FM, your number one talk radio station. Do take care of yourself, and it's a busy weekend. It's almost back to school. Monday is school, so the road will be busy, kids coming back from holiday, going back to their respective places, and parents are busy preparing their kids for school, and you know, there are those that are going back to boarding school, and this is also a chance for parents to sit down with our kids, you know, talk to them, advise them, you know, give them the best advice you can. Whatever a role as a parent you need to play in your child's life, do it, speak to them, advise them, avoid, you know, by all means, try to send them off with a positive mindset, and because also small kids make so much bad decisions to their lives. You know, imagine hearing a small 11-year-old or 10-year-old committing suicide, you know, and you'd want to think as to why a young child, you know, doing such a thing. Why, as young as this child is, what was he thinking? What is he going through? You know, kids are also being bullied at school. You know, a child will not even want to go back to school because they think of, it's back to school, I'm not going to be bullied, and this is what's going to happen to me, you know. So sit down with your kids, talk to them, make them feel open, let them be open to, also they'll be open up to speak to you and share whatever that's going around. You know, when you make a child comfortable to speak up whatever they are going through, no matter what they go through, they will come running to you because they know that, no, that's my safe place. That's where my safe space is. That's where I can run to because, she listens to me or he listens to me. So let's advise our kids. Let's, send them off with good words and with positive mindsets. And, enough with my talking. From me, Francina, it's a goodbye. Do take care and, let's drive safely, you know, because like I said, the road is also busy. Kids are going back. Parents are going to get their kids. Parents are taking their kids. So let's drive safe and let's avoid the overspeeding and also the drinking and driving, please. If you know that you are hitting the road, then wait until you have reached your destination. Maybe when you're at home, it's better than, you know, at least you are saving a life than losing a life. So from me, Francina, it's a goodbye. We shall meet next Saturday, same time, same place. And that's, of course, your number one talk radio station. Goodbye.